next time on the K-League United podcast. We go in depth on all three K2 teams as they prepare for the promotion playoffs. We look at the strengths, weaknesses, key players, and chances of promotion from Gwangju FC, Daejeon Citizen, and Busan I Park as they prepare for the single elimination matches they hope will see them squaring off against K1 opposition soon. We also debate the merits of the playoff system and consider changes with your questions in the mailbag. All that and more in this edition of the K-League United podcast.
Hello, annyeonghaseyo. Ryan Walters here in the K-League United bunker. It's quiet tonight, gentlemen. I'm here along with Paul Neat and Michael Redman. Gentlemen, hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
We are talking playoffs again, but not like we did before. We're talking actual playoffs this time, something that the two of you following K2 are well-versed with, and it's finally decided. We know it's going to happen, and I, for one, am excited because I'm always excited about playoffs. Michael, you follow Seoul Elan, so unfortunately...
I can only hope and dream about what it would be like to be in them positions. Yeah. So, but as a neutral fan, it's quite exciting to watch to see, especially this year, with everything that's happened, what will happen at the end.
Yeah, and everything that happens, we're gonna get into that in a minute. But, Paul, I persuaded you onto the side of playoffs last time we talked. How are you feeling now that you're in the playoffs?
Well, I've always liked playoffs in a promotion sense. Because as a Preston North End fan, we've had many failed attempts at the playoffs. Sure. I think we got to the 10th attempt and we finally went up through the playoffs. So
you just keep plugging away and eventually you get there.
So 10 times a charm. But I've always liked them. Even as a neutral, like you said, Michael, like even if it's not my team involved in them, you tune into the playoffs. Even like League Two playoffs, so like the fourth tier in England, doesn't matter, right. I'll watch it.
Well, you know, that's what we're hoping for the K-League playoffs as well. Yeah. Especially in the first game where Daejeon is up. And we're going to get to all that in a minute. But first, before we get into anything else, the reason that we're talking about the playoffs just a few days before they get started is because there was a little bit of a snafu this year, if we want to call it that.
It was something.
It was something indeed, where the police team, Asan Magunghwa, were denied promotion because they didn't have a recruiting plan.
Yeah, so the National Police Agency, who supply Asan Magunghwa with their entire squad, they announced that they are no longer going to do that from next year, very abruptly. And it would mean that even though they have a squad of around 26 players now, there are about 12 due to leave over the winter, and therefore they would only have 14 remaining. Mm-hmm. And K-League rules dictate that you have to have at least 20 players in your squad to be able to compete. So 14 obviously is not enough. That isn't enough to fill a bench either. So, so they were given until the 11th of November initially to put forward a recruitment plan. Then that was extended until the 19th. And they weren't able to find a solution. So, yeah, it was decided yesterday on Monday the 19th that Asan will not go up and it will be Songnam instead. So, first of all, congratulations to Songnam.
Yeah, and, you know, it's weird because I was at the Suwon FC game where Songnam sealed second place and it felt really bizarre because it was a situation of, like, should they be celebrating promotion? Should they be celebrating a win? Should they be celebrating the playoffs? And now it's almost even more strange because that was their promotion.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure if they could really celebrate it. So that was a weird situation for Songnam. But yeah, congrats to them. The undefeated run they had this year deserves some plaudits. So I feel like it's a well-earned promotion.
Well, do you know what it's like? It's like having a goal initially chalked off. No, you score a goal. And then it goes to VAR. So you've already... You've had that celebration, but then when it's actually decided, it's like, oh, yay.
I think with Asan, I think the right decision was made in the end.
Unfortunately, it was a situation that became untenable. So it's a sad situation. I would like to see them go out of business or out of action completely. Obviously, that looks like it might happen. That's a huge shame.
Yeah.
But in terms of them not being able to go up, then yeah, the right decision was made, I feel.
It's just a shame because there's a national team player by the name of Juse Jong that's still on that squad. And what happens to him now?
Yes, and Lee Myung-ju as well, who was heavily involved in the national team up until the World Cup. Certainly a lot of the friendlies this time last year.
Yeah, so it's an interesting situation to follow, but one that wasn't ever really going to play into the playoffs for them, but because of the decision now, we have Sungnam getting that automatic spot, which is good news for Gwangju fans.
Yeah.
Because that means that instead of second, third, and fourth, we now have third, fourth, and fifth going into a three-game playoff. But before we get into these teams and what that's all like, for those that are unaware of how the K2 playoffs work, Paul, you got a little bit of a rundown for that.
Okay, so bear with me. It is a little bit complicated. So usually the team that finishes second in K-League 2 is automatically qualified for the promotion final and will play the winner of third versus fourth, who will go head-to-head in a one-off game with a team that has finished highest being at home. This year, as we've just said, that's a little bit different because Asan were denied promotion, and so it's second who have gone up, Songnam, and therefore Busan have advanced to the promotion final and will await the winners of Daejeon in fourth and a home to Gwangju in fifth, who will play each other in the promotion semi-final. Then the winners of that game will play the team that finishes second, but in this year it's third, in a one-off game in what is called the promotion final at the home stadium of the team that had finished the highest. After which, there'll be the promotion playoff winners. And then, they go into a two-legged final, which is called the promotion relegation final, with the team that finished 11th in K-League 1. The K-League 1 team has the home advantage for the decisive second leg.
Yeah. So, a little bit to unpack there.
So that was simple, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this year, to just boil that down to what it is, this year we've got Daejeon hosting Gwangju. The winner of that is going to go down to Busan and face Busan. These are single elimination games.
Yes.
The winner of that, Busan versus Daejeon or Gwangju, will then go on into a double leg against maybe Incheon, maybe Sangju, maybe Jeonnam.
I think it's looking,
we can all hope for miracles.
But one thing that is worth pointing out is that home advantage is important in these K-League 2 playoffs. So, for example, Michael, obviously, a bit before your time, but in 2015, Suwon FC played out a 3-3 draw with Seoul Eland at home. And they only needed a draw to go through.
Yeah.
So the home team, a draw is enough.
And this is something that we got a good email about this, and we'll touch on this in the mailbag, about that extreme home field advantage. And I'll weigh in on whether or not I like it then, but I think it's something that's it's certainly interesting and it's certainly controversial, so just going to make a little note for that, and we will touch on that a little bit later in the mailbag. So that's how things work. That's what we're getting ready to finally get kicked off on the 28th of this month. We won't run down all the dates or anything like that. That's on the website. That's on kleagueunited.com. You can check it out there. Or there's a handy-dandy little infographic on all of our social media. You can check that out to follow along. But what we are going to do is we're going to run down each of these teams. We're going to talk about how they got here. We're going to talk about their strengths, their weaknesses, key players, and that was another question that we had come in on social that was really good. Some of the little less obvious key players, and we'll touch on them a little bit. And then we're going to talk about their chances of promotion. And I think after watching what Gangnam did this year in K1, I am taking K2 teams a lot more seriously. Because
There's not a lot of difference, I think, between the top end of K2 and the I'll say bottom end of K1, but Gangnam are in the top three of the K1.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is, there are some teams at the bottom end who are, you know, they are new. Ansan Greeners, Seoul Eland, they're relatively new teams. But the stalwarts at Busan, I park, they're big clubs, you know.
Yeah.
So
I watched some stellar performances this year, and not by just one team: Songnam, Asan, Busan, even the likes of sometimes Gwangju. They started off slow, I thought, but they got into it, and that's why they found themselves in the playoff.
Yeah.
Okay, by luck, but they do deserve it as such, with the way they've played the latter half of the season.
Yeah, no, there have been Well, we talk about this every year because Jumbuk is in K1, so K2 is a more interesting league to follow. It just
it has been this year, by nature,
just because definitely. It's more competitive. There are more teams fighting for that top spot, and then there. And again, that's why I like playoffs. There's a little bit more on the line fighting for those top spots. If you finish fourth, you're still getting something that you can literally change your season with.
Yeah. So, I mean, it got to the stage where there's maybe three or even, not even four games left of the season, mm-hmm. and most of the league still had things to play for.
Everyone was in it.
Like, pretty much.
Except for...
Pretty much.
The only thing that K2 is missing is relegation.
Yes.
If it had relegation for teams to worry about, it would be perfect.
Well, and in theory, that's coming down the pipeline. So hopefully we'll see that sooner than later. And we have another question that's kind of touching on that in the mailbag that we'll get to as well. But to go ahead and get into it, the team that eked in fifth place, usually not something to celebrate, was Gwangju FC. They got here by losing just one match in 14 from May until September, and that was enough to get them over the playoff line. They also ended the season on a 3-game unbeaten run, defeating fellow playoff hopefuls Anyang, which ended Anyang's season. That was a playoff game in a lot of ways. And then on the last day of the season, they just dismantled Ansan Greeners 4-0. And it kind of changed the complexity of what this team looks like going into the playoffs, in my opinion. But more impressively than any of that, they held Busan to 2-2, and that very recently, and that could be a playoff preview, and I think that says where this team can get to. They have also got here largely based on defensive consistency. They had 15 draws this season, mainly because they were fourth best in the league with only 41 goals conceded. That defense has been very reliable for them. They have 11 clean sheets, which is third best in the league, and they're one of only three teams that haven't conceded four or more goals. So, always goals in K2. Always enjoy that. Yeah. A lot of that comes down to one of our Golden Glove nominees, Yoon Kyung-guk, who is in net, and Na Sang-ho up top, who's made his way into the national team. So, those are two players to watch out for. But we'll get on that when we get into the key players. Some of their strengths, I think that, you know, with that many draws, with that many close games, obviously their biggest strength is that they know how to keep games close. You know, and you guys, you watched a lot more K2 games this year. Is that something that you noticed from them, Paul?
Yeah, you seldom ever saw them lose by a lot, or you just knew that if the game was always tight, they still had a way of getting a result, even mm-hmm. if it was just a draw. They were tough to beat, especially at home.
Yeah. Well, and Michael, you said this was a team you were really impressed by when you saw them.
Gwangju were very, very good defensively. You could not break through against Gwangju, and it wasn't only until going to the end of the season where they were going all guns blazes to fight for that possible playoff position mm-hmm. that a goal or two was leaked in with them. But on the same contrast, they were then scoring more goals to counteract that. Right. So I think they've been very defensively solid all season, the way they've actually played. They've come out with a goal. Okay, they started a little bit slow, I thought, but they've come out with a goal, and they've luckily got into a position where they might be happy with. And these playoffs, they're only one game each, so...
Right.
They've given youth a chance, and they've also been quite smart with their foreign signings, especially over this summer.
Yeah, or... We're going to touch on that one, too. Some of their weaknesses, again, this is something that I think hopefully you guys will agree with on, or at least you've seen a little bit more. They have been a little bit inconsistent. They've been consistently close, but they've been inconsistent as far as getting results.
Well, they had fourth for a long time.
Right. They had that.
And they just let it slip. So, yeah.
And I think that for me, going into a playoff situation, as Michael said, this is a one game and you're done. They don't have that killer instinct. This many draws to me says that this is a team that doesn't have that just go for the jugular at the end in them, you know?
15 draws.
15.
This season.
Yeah.
Where Eland yesterday, last year, I said, 14 draws, that's amazing to do 14 draws. But Gwangju this year has actually put out 15 in the league. So, as I said, defensively, very sound. Mm-hmm. I hope, very, very good. But are they a team if they got to the K1 that could keep up this defensive line, would they be the same outfit in the K1 as the K League 1 as they would be in the K League 2?
Right. Well, I think, I mean, once they lost Junjoon Guk a couple of years ago, they obviously went down pretty easily, didn't they?
Well, that was what got them relegated.
Yeah, so they would have to invest.
That leads into one of their key players, which is Na Sang-ho, who has filled that void somewhat. Gwangju's not lighting the world on fire as far as goals scored, but, I mean, he's been doing well enough. He is the Golden Boot winner. He's earned his way into the national team, and you've got to believe that if they don't win these playoffs and get back into K1, he's probably going to be gone, because I can't see a player of his caliber sticking around for another season in K2.
A player of his caliber who's also military exempt.
Yeah, who just won the Asian Games this year.
I mean, if there's a team that likes to buy young players who are military exempt, then it's Jungbook.
No, I mean, I think he could be a good shout for Jungbook. That might be a really big step up right away. There are other teams.
And that might be, it might look at Kumuyol, who made a similar jump and struggled a little bit. But he's, I mean, it depends. If Gwangju can convince him, if they don't go up, because they might do, if they can convince him to stay and have another go next year, I mean, I'm being pessimistic about them. Obviously, I shouldn't be, but, or even if they do go up.
They did only get in because of an extended playoff field. So of all the teams, I feel like this is the one, and we're going to get to their chances of promotion. Well, we're kind of into their chances of promotion. We'll officially get into that in just a second. I feel like of all the teams, this is the one that you can kind of say, they're playing with house money here, right? Like, they weren't supposed to be in here.
Yeah, that's a good way to push it.
And it's just like, well, here you go. So, I mean,
they've got nothing to lose.
Right. So, like, my hope is that they're going to come out and just be like, screw it. Let's just try to score 5.
Yeah.
Because why not? Who cares?
And they didn't they against Seoul?
They've had a few high-scoring ones. Yeah. Goes into our Gwangju columnist, Pete Hampshire. He is tagging Duarte as one of their key players because he has been a game-changer for them. He has 6 goals in 10 games, and he's a decent chance creator.
Did you see that W Smong game-changer? He put that cross on right on Felipe's head for the towering header. Mm-hmm. And I think those two, they have formed a relationship. They've linked up well.
And just before we move on from the players, again, goalkeeper Yoon Pyeong-guk, I think one of the things that was interesting in digging up all of this is his first season really getting much of a go. It's his first season with over 2,000 minutes. He's held 9 of the 11 clean sheets. It's been a good year for him. But the thing that I forgot about, he was on the 2015 Sangju side that earned promotion.
Yeah.
So he's been through these playoffs before. Yeah. He knows what it takes to come up from K2. He's already in a leadership position as the goalkeeper. And I think that locker room presence that he can offer and saying like, hey, I've done this before.
Mm.
I think that would be an interesting little tweak to something that he's already got going on.
Yeah.
Just real quickly, and then we'll move on to Daejeon. Chances of promotion for Gwangju. I don't know. Do you want to do percentages here?
I wrote down a percentage for Daejeon. Okay. So we could do, I would say it's under 50. I'd say it'd be 40%. They are the outsiders in this.
Yeah.
But then again, they will probably think that about themselves. And it might play into their advantage. Like we just said, they've got nothing to lose.
Right. Michael?
Yeah. 30 to 40%. Just a case of a team. I was looking there. They went 8 games in a row without a win.
Yeah,
and to be in a playoffs and to say, yeah, we didn't win a game in 8 games, but we're still here. I just feel, would they have the fibre to actually go through to? Because these would be big games, and nerves will be running through. Mm-hmm. Be like, right, we're not supposed to be here. We're here now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right, Daejeon. Let's concentrate on Daejeon, and then if they're exhausted against Daejeon, if they leave everything on the pitch, then they have to go play Busan a couple of days later.
And this is a team that has only picked up 2 wins away from home since June, and those were against, Seoul Eland and Bucheon. So this, again, comes down to the format of this, where I think I'm gonna just put this out there, 0%.
Yeah, all right. Michael.
They are not getting promoted because they can't win on the road. I don't see them. But anything can happen in one game, so they might be able to get past Daejeon. They are not going to beat Busan.
But there was one game that they won on the road that was quite important. Is they beat Daejeon at Daejeon. I was there. It was my birthday weekend, and they ruined it.
Not that there's any revenge on the mind at all.
Nasang-ho with an absolute worldie in the 93rd minute.
He does that.
Yeah.
He does that sometimes.
I was seething.
Well, what a perfect transition. A seething Dejan fan. That does lead into the team that finished in fourth place, what should have been the dividing line for the playoffs in most years. Surprisingly good season for Dejan. How did they do it?
Well, whilst Grandjean were going through that run of 8 games without a win, around that time, Dejan were on a run of 11 games without a defeat. Mm-hmm. 8 of those were victories. That was a run that went through 2.5 months, and that's why they got to third at one point. So, I mean, unfortunately for Dejan, it was those couple of defeats thereafter, and then they lost at home to Busan to lose that third spot. But they got there by going on that unbelievable run. Mm-hmm. And also that they've got a young and hungry squad that have performed just superbly over the course of the season. Okay, they had a slow start. But once Ko Dong-soo, the manager, he found his best 11, his best mm-hmm. squad, he didn't veer away from that too much. He was consistent with his... He was loyal to his players.
Which is refreshing to see in K-League.
If you look at like the number of appearances or minutes made by a lot of the players, there's not that many that have made over 2,000, for instance. Mm-hmm. He stuck to that core squad. And I think that has definitely helped. So, for me, it's a young, hungry squad, and the manager has performed very well. Mm-hmm. He's been very smart with his selection. He's been ruthless enough to say, no, okay, I'm going to be loyal to these players because they perform well enough. And that's basically it. And if you look at some of the key stats of the, you know, the players in the squad, they're up there in the top 10, even some of them towards the top with passes made, assists, mm-hmm. goals, tackles won, interceptions, clearances, shots on target, things like this. When I was looking at the stats a few weeks ago, I was surprised, actually, to see how many Dejan players were up there in and around the top 10 for things like this. Mm-hmm. And it just reaffirmed how well that they've done this year.
Yeah, they've had a lot of really strong players. I mean, putting together our awards list this year, there are a lot of Dejan players in a lot of different categories. Hwang In-bum, technically, as a Dejan player, helps that a little bit.
Obviously, he played quite a lot for Asan, so I mean...
Well, yeah. We'll talk about him with your key players. So what do you think are the biggest strengths for Dejan heading into the playoffs?
Energy and fitness levels. Ah. They have some quality players, mm-hmm. but they just seem fitter than most teams. I think they've managed to earn 12 points from coming from behind or scoring late on in games. I mean, late is in like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, they've left a lot for late.
And actually, when they played Gwangju away, they scored in the 91st and the 93rd minute, I think it was, mm-hmm. to earn a huge, huge win. And they've done that on a couple of occasions where they just seem to have that belief just to keep going and keep going. Mm-hmm. And I think that will be something that will obviously they'll take with them into this hopefully for them next few games
into them playoffs. What do you see as being maybe one of their pitfalls, one of their weaknesses?
The squad is young. Now the exuberance of youth is good. Obviously, it has its advantages, but the average age of the squad, and I mean squad, not the whole squad, because they've got quite a large squad there at Dejan.
And how they could actually just form another K2 team next year. Even if they get promoted, they could just have Dejan 2.
You've just solved Asan's problem.
There we go.
Just get all of Dejan's cast off.
Yep.
And then, yeah. So, I added up the average age of the squad based on players who have played more than 15 appearances. So, it's 23.
Ooh.
Only three players over 31 have made over 15 appearances. And only one player over the age of 30 has played more than 20 games, and that's the captain.
That makes sense.
An Sang-hyun. So their weakness could be a strength, but in terms of when you're coming into high pressure games, mm-hmm. games with things on the line, it's not a league game. It's not just 3 points. Mm-hmm. It's a do or die situation. Then you know, they're going to need the very little experience that they've got in that squad to guide them through that, I think, will be the weaknesses.
Well, that leads perfectly into who do you think are the key players that are going to do it for them?
Key players, obviously, I can't mention key player like saying Hwang In-bom.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I've seen him really grow as a player over the last 12 months without watching him at Daejeon. You know what I mean? Because obviously he went to Asan for the first 9 months of the season.
For his military duty.
For his military duty. And he's come back as not a different player, but more mature. His decision making's better. And he just looks head and shoulders above anybody else in most midfields.
Yeah.
And he's just a touch of class whenever you need it. There's him, and there's also the Romanian forward Aurelian Kichu, who, 27 years old, he's their top scorer with 12. Not a great amount of goals, but they've shared them around their Daejeon.
Well, the Golden Boot winner only has 16.
Right.
So when you think about it that way, 12 is pretty good.
He's another classy player, and actually, when Jonkla Bosga, the centre-back, he was talking about trying to come back still.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking me, you know, any news on that? I was like, well, I don't know, to be honest. But I said, well, actually, I think now it's done because they've just signed a Romanian, ironically enough, because obviously he's also a Romanian. And I told him who it was, and he's like, I'm really surprised because he's a very good player. And he said he's more of a winger.
Mm.
This season he's played down the middle as like a number nine, as a striker. Mm. But he's very good. When they have him on the pitch, they know they can find a goal or find something.
Yep.
And at the back, Kom Young-sok, the centre-half, is statistically one of the best centre-halves in the division. And a very shrewd signing from Bucheon over the winter.
Mm.
He was in the Korea under-23 squad before that. He's probably looking not to have gone to the Asian Games, to be perfectly honest with you. But yeah, those three I'd pick are the key players.
So, real quickly, chances of promotion.
I've said 60%.
Ooh.
I would say they've got a decent chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that trip down to Busan if they do make it past Gwangju. Obviously, as we know, they only need to have a draw at home to Gwangju to get through. But going down to Busan, I mean, they've won there already. They got a draw at the ASEAN when they played the ASEAN for some reason. And they got a draw, and they got a win at the Gudok with a last-minute winner. And so they, you know, they'll go there if they go there, thinking that they can get a win. But I just think because Busan have the experience.
Well, we'll talk about that one.
Yeah, I'll nip it at the bud there. Then I'll just 60%.
Michael,
I'm going to say less. I think it's going about 40%.
Yeah,
really, because just looking at Busan, they've been here before. Mm-hmm. They'll be looking to go forward and. To look at Daejeon, okay, yeah, it's been a mixed bag. They've won a game, they've lost a game against them, but they'll be revved up for this game against Daejeon, certainly. And I think they'll be liking the chances of whoever they face, either Gwangju or Daejeon. So I think it'd be Busan that would favour.
Well, I want to split it down the middle and just say 50%, but I really do think that I think Busan's just going to have a little bit more of a leg up. If it was almost anybody else, but yeah, as we said, Busan was here last year, and they do have to go on the road, Daejeon does. So I'm going to say a hard 48%.
Right, precise.
There it is. And talking a lot about Busan, that is the last team in K2 that's in the playoffs, and they've been impressive for quite a while. Michael, how did they get here?
They've been here because they've been rather dominant throughout the season, regardless of Asan and of Songnam. They scored, I think it was 53 goals this season, which is only one behind Asan, who were the top scorers in the league this year. They also had the second best goal difference at plus 18. They're a team that they know how to score.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 15 different goal scorers throughout the... 15. So the two top goal scorers are Romelu and Ko Kyung-min, 9 goals each. But they're a team. They're a team outfit from the defence to the midfield and the attack. There's just obviously there's key players in Busan, but they all know and they've really gelled together well. Falling off last year in the final, mm-hmm. this is it looks like this year it's really driven them to go forward and to actually, we can go one step better this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, we fell at the final hurdle. There's a few misfortunes with Busan last year, which is already documented. But I think they've rebuilt and continue to move forward. They've got a mixed team. They've got a team mm-hmm. of older players and they've got a lot of younger players in there as well. There's like five players who could easily, between 21 and 24, like play in, week out at Busan. And I just think if their confidence grows and their experience grows, if they get promoted, not only would they be a mediocre K-League 1 team, they could do well in the top six, yeah. I would say, definitely.
So what do you think is their biggest strength?
I think the biggest strength is the fact is, it's the goals that they scored. They share the goals between the players. Romelu's got 9, Ko Kyung-min's got 9. Even look at Kim Jin-kyu, he's got himself 7 goals this season in 27 appearances. Now, 2 of them are midfielders.
Mm-hmm.
So the goals are not just relying on the 2 up front or 3 up front. They're actually relying on playing the ball from the mid and going, moving the ball forward. Some of them are crosses and like maybe push back from a chance from a corner. Or they're not, a lot of the goals are not strikers' goals. They're well-worked, timed goals where a lot of passing is involved with Busan. So if they could trouble a lot of teams, they could frustrate a lot of teams if they start passing and moving the ball around like they have done all season with a lot of the teams in the league when they have turned up, well, they've turned up most of the time this league. They're a good outfit to watch. They're interesting.
Yeah, they have been fun to watch. Because like you say, they score and they score from all over the field. Conversely, though, if you're Daejeon, if you're Gwangju, maybe, if you're the K1 team that's going to face them, what do you think are some of the weaknesses on this Busan side?
I think, now, there's only 8 games that they haven't scored in. But if they've drew a game and they've lost a game, they have conceded a lot.
Mm.
Now, just running through some of the fixtures, Daejeon 3-3 was a result. They won a game against Anyang 4-3, but you still conceded 3 goals there.
Yeah.
Gwangju 3-3 again. There's been a lot of games where they haven't lost exactly 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost 2-0, or they've drawn 3-3, or lost 3-1. It's like when it rains, it pours with Busan and their defence. Either they are outstanding and they are well structured, or they just leak a lot of goals within a game and they need to, what do? They reform it? Do you mean, do they go in at half time and change the formation if they are doing that in a playoff game? How would they counteract that if they are losing a goal down, mm-hmm. 2 goals down, which has been seen before with this side in the league this year?
Well, that could be huge in a 2-leg final when you start out at home and you're shipping all those away goals. I mean, 2 or 3 away goals, you might as well just pack it in at that point. Yeah, it's a good shout. Key players, there are a few on there.
Well, where to start, really? Now, obviously, you've got the obvious players of Romelu,
mm-hmm.
the Brazilian. He's only 23 years of age.
Which I was surprised when you said that, yeah.
And he's got 9 goals to his name in 35 appearances this year for Busan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also the defender, Kim Yoon-won, 24 years old. He's played 28 times. And the fact he's only got 3 bookings this season, he's only been cautioned 3 times to show that he's actually a stable, level-headed player at his age. So maybe it's something that Busan can build around him defensively in the next few seasons as well, if they can keep this talent that they've got. They've also got players where between 21 and 24, there's like 5 or 6 who normally play week in, week out, where Busan, they're planning for the future. They're not just planning for this one season of getting promoted. What's going to happen after we get promoted? Mm-hmm. Are we going to survive in the bottom half of the K-League 1, or are we going to go up to the K-League 2? I think they're already planning a step ahead of these playoffs the way that they've set themselves up as a team.
Well, they are a big club. It was like when Songnam came down. It was a bit of a shock, wasn't it? When both of those teams got relegated, it was a bit of a shock. So they are, a fairly well-decorated team.
Well, there are 11 K-1 titles between those two sides.
Right.
Granted, so, 7 of them are with Sangnam, right. But still, we're talking about a league that, okay, if you want to call it, its earliest inceptions came around 1983, but really the 90s, mid-90s, for 11 of those championships to be relegated, yeah, that was huge. And yeah. Busan had 4 of them.
Right.
I mean, that's a big club.
And backed by, you know, a big company, they right. are... I think if or when they do get back to the K-1, which I think it's inevitable at yeah. some point,
yeah.
whether it's this year or another season, then I think the backers will put the money where the mouth is.
Well, I'm going to come back to you on that one. Michael, yeah. what do you have as their chances of promotion?
I think the chance of promotion is... I just really don't think they're going to fail this year. Compared to last year, I think... it was unfortunate what happened
mm-hmm.
with regards to them doing the FA Cup final. They lost in the playoff final as well. And everything that happened with the manager as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they've got no distractions. So I think they'll want to prove to themselves that they're consistent, that we are a K-League One outfit. I think whoever they play in the K-League One, they will beat. If it's Incheon, if it's Sangju Sangmu, I think they will beat them, because the way that they have set themselves up this year, especially, I could say, against Eland, they put 12 goals past Eland in 4 games.
That's quite a lot. I'm laughing, but I'm sorry.
We're not laughing directly in your yeah. face.
They handed Eland their heaviest defeat in history of 5-0.
You were there that day, weren't you?
I was there that day. I was there 2-2.
Yeah.
I was there 3-1 in the Gudok as well. Already, so
yeah.
I've witnessed many Busan goals this year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
They're an outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paul, what percentage are you giving them? I mean, I'm aware that for those that aren't watching this, which is everybody not in this room, Paul is wearing a Dejan shirt.
I have my scarf in my bag as well.
Right now. He's wearing the scarf too. He's lying. It's on right now. But putting that aside, what are you saying for Busan here?
80%.
Yeah.
I think they're going up, to be perfectly honest with you. I think, like you said, whoever they play in the from the K-1, they'll beat. Well, we'll talk about who in the K-1 yeah. a bit later on, but they've had that experience of last year. There's mm-hmm. a lot of the players still there from last year as well, yeah. who will just think, I don't want to be in this position again. Yeah. And yeah, they're going up in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, my percentages are all over the place. Technically, it should be 52% because I said 48
well,
for Dejan.
I've split them 3 ways and I've given 18, yeah. 40, and 60. So
this isn't math class.
No.
We're doing fine. I think for me, it's hard not to root for this team because, you know, you, especially as a Dejan fan, really just loved the teams that Chojin Ho put together. And
yeah.
this still feels like Chojin Ho's team. And with him passing away at the end of last season, it would have been so poetic for them to go up last year. And to me, this is still his legacy in a lot of ways. And I want to see this team succeed because of that. Because he was a daring manager that just played a lovely brand of football. I really wanted to see what he could do with a big club like this at the top level. And so for him... That's why I want them to succeed. And beyond that, I think they will. But
yeah.
it would be really great if they could do it to kind of really cement that legacy for him.
Yeah, it was last year, I felt like there was no justice in the world when they didn't do it. I think
yeah.
because if they weren't in the FA Cup final as well,
yeah.
they probably would have.
Yeah.
The fact that they left with neither of them, they didn't win the FA Cup or they didn't go up, and I just think that was it was a real shame.
Yeah.
This year, they don't have that FA Cup distraction.
Yep.
And they've got the experience in terms of players who've been there and done it in the wrong sense.
Mm-hmm.
They won't want to do that again. Yeah, they're going to be the team to go up.
Certainly feels that way. It certainly feels like they'll be the ones that are going to win these K2 playoffs. But we'll talk about each of those matchups after we take a quick break.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email KLU at info@kleagueunited.com or tweet at K-League United with any questions, comments, or reactions. Or follow us on Facebook to ask directly during one of our live shows.
All right, welcome back. Ryan Walters here along with Michael Redman and Paul Neat, and we are talking about the K2 playoffs.
Yeah.
I can't say playoffs without saying playoffs. Exciting stuff.
Bar playoffs.
Said the Elan fan. Anyway, moving on. Yeah. The first matchup of these playoffs is going to be Daejeon hosting Gwangju FC. That's going to be taking place on the 28th. It'll be a nice chilly night at Daejeon World Cup Stadium.
Yep.
We've talked a little bit about how we see this one playing out, but I guess we haven't gotten into the tactical side of things. How do you see Daejeon setting up for this one?
Just as they always do, go out to win the game. They don't need to win the game. They can get through by getting a draw, but yeah. Kurong-soo doesn't play to get a draw. Mm-hmm. He plays to win, and that's what they'll do. I mean, even on the last game of the season against Anyang, it was a very heavily rotated team.
Mm-hmm.
They went 2-0 down and clawed it back to 2-2, and they were going for the winner in a game that they didn't even need to win. It was just a dead rubber, really.
Yeah,
they will set themselves up as they always do. They're going to go out and try and win the game, quite simply. They don't need to. A draw will be enough, but they're going to go for it.
That's not really how you want to advance in playoffs, though. You don't want to advance on a draw.
No, and thing is about Daejeon, they're a second half team. They score a lot of goals in the second half. So even if it is tight in the first, chances are in the last 15 of the second half, they're going to go and really go for it, I think.
Yeah. Michael, do you have any keys to Gwangju about how you think they might set up?
I think it's odd because, as I said before, they're a defensive team.
Right.
But defence is not going to win you the game here.
Right.
You need to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
But as you saw in the end of the season, when they were thinking, hang on, we could still get a playoffs here, they were putting the ball in the back of the net.
That's true.
So they'll have to play attacking. Mm-hmm. They'll have to play more attacking than they have done for certainly the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially if Daejeon go a goal up in the first half, then Gwangju already have a mountain to climb, and for a team that doesn't really, they're not really known for scoring mass amounts of goals in a game, they'll have to set up maybe slightly different than they will in the league.
If I was the Gwangju manager, I'd be trying to use Felipe as much as possible.
I was going to say
his physical presence is not like anything else in the K2 at the moment. So if you get the ball on his head in the right areas, that'll be hard to defend against.
Well, and especially depending on how they set up, but you know, if you're talking about having him up top as that anchor, you could throw Na Sang-ho out wide, and then you could also have Duarte out wide, and as a three-man attack.
Yeah,
sure, I'll take that in K2.
Well, Na Sang-ho started out wide for Korea against Uzbekistan.
Right.
So yeah,
he's going to be comfortable out there.
Yep.
But just quickly, who do we think is going to win that game? Paul, I'll start with you, because I feel like I know your answer.
Daejeon.
Michael?
Daejeon.
Yeah, I think we'll make that one unanimous. Yeah. I kind of have to after I said 0% for Gwangju. Sorry to the Gwangju fans that are listening. It's a bit rude, but I just don't see them being able to pull it off on the road. So, I think we're all in agreement that that's going to be Daejeon moving on. They're going to make that trip down to Busan. And that is a matchup that historically has not been that favorable for them. In their last 46 matches, they've only picked up 14 wins, with only two of those coming away from home.
Yeah, one of them was this season, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, historically, they don't get a lot down there. But knowing that they came back from behind to get that win at the Gudok, and then in the draw, I mean, they were 3-2 up at one point, having gone behind, and the end that drawing 3-3. So not as if they've come up from behind to earn a draw. They actually probably, you could say, threw away 2 points. But they've got a draw and have got a win down there. They lost both games at home, ironically enough. So, you know, it's kind of strange. So it's going to be a tough trip down to Busan, because it always is for teams. Mm-hmm. But they will be able to go there knowing that they have got the job done there before.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because exactly what I was going to say,
Dejan's going to come into that having got the job done. Busan's going to come into that having played their last game when? That's such a long time to go from, I mean, we're looking at, what, late October into late November? I mean, they've almost had a full month off at this point. They played a few games recently, but like, with that international break and now with this extension of pushing things back even further, that's a long time to go without playing. And yes, they're at home. Yes, they're a strong side. But I think playoffs is all about momentum. You know, that's why the K2 side usually wins. And Dejan, I think that's going to be a big plus for them coming into that, having that first game, hopefully at home. It'll be at home, but hopefully one that they can build momentum in and pick up a convincing win. Because, you know, Michael, as you were saying, it's something that you well, Paul, you were saying you could get a draw, but Michael, I think you were talking about like getting the goals in and really making a statement in that first game.
Yeah, and I think especially if they put all the eggs into one basket on Wednesday's game next week against Gwangju, what's the fatigue level going to be like? You're right at what you're saying. They're going to have to go to the Gudok and they're going to have to score. That has to be done. If they don't do it, Busan go through.
Yeah.
So, looking at Busan, they haven't won in the last three games. So maybe that is momentum for Dejan going forward. You know, Busan, you could say they're falling off a little bit now at the end of the season. Tired legs, but they do have that time off to prepare compared to Dejan where they don't.
I think they might be coasting a little bit as well because Sungnam secured second place and so Busan knew no matter what happened they were going to be in these playoffs and they might have just been resting, but that can come back to bite a team. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. They do just have the one game for it, so I'm gonna put you on the spot here first, Michael. Who do you see getting that one?
I think Busan will just... I think they'll win, never mind just draw, they'll win it, and I'm sorry Paul, I think they'll win it convincingly. Especially, I think the reason why I say convincingly is because of the Wednesday game followed by the Saturday game. How many days of rest is that? Two full days rest and then you're back playing again?
I don't know, they're on the squad's fit. They're fit, a lot of young players. They have no qualms of playing Wednesday, Saturday. I think Busan will win, but I think it'd be narrow. I can't see it being 3 or even 2-0. Maybe 1-2-1. I don't think it'd be a landslide victory.
I wanted to say keepers on pens, but there will be no pens.
No.
So, yeah. Unfortunately. Or fortunately, really. Yeah, I think...
It's hard to predict, because like we said, Dejan have won there before. So
they have. And I do see them coming in with the momentum, but I think Busan's just going to be a little bit too much for them to handle.
Yeah,
I think we're all in agreement that Busan is going to
reluctantly
take that. So then they're going to move on and face the 11th place team in K1, which right now, with two games left in K1, is Incheon United. Is that the team that we think it's going to be?
No, I think it's going to be Sangju. I can certainly see a repeat of last year's final, Sangju against Busan I Park. I just think that I know Incheon have got two tough games. They finish with FC Seoul away, and they finish with Jeonnam at home.
The mighty Jeonnam Dragons, thank you.
Yeah, some say.
Mostly not many.
You.
Yeah. Not many.
Now, FC Seoul only need a point for them to secure survival.
Yep.
They haven't beaten Incheon this season.
Yeah, Incheon's had their number this year.
So, but that said, I don't see them getting a win away to FC Seoul. So it's going to come down to that last game of the season against Jeonnam. But regardless of Incheon, I just think the run of form that Sangju are on at the moment, I think it's 1-8. They just look like a team... Well, the thing is, I said this last year.
We say it every year.
And they managed to pull it off in the playoffs. So, you know, it's so unpredictable. It's hard to sit here and say, this is what's going to happen. But, put it this way. If I was the manager of any of these K2 teams, it would be Sangju that I would want to play.
I think that's a good way to look at it, right? And Michael, congratulations, you're in charge of, I guess we'll say Busan, because they are the ones that we're picking as winning. Is Sangju the team that you would want to face in K1?
I think so. Incheon, the survival specialists, aren't they?
They just really are.
They just know how to stick around the K-League 1. each season.
For me, it's just Moon Son Min and Magosa. Amongst others, obviously, you know, Elias Aguilar as well in midfield. They've got too much, I think, for any K2 team. If it was that down to Incheon and any of the K2 teams, Incheon's attack would have too much for them. They've been scoring a lot of... It's the other end where they have their issues. They've been scoring goals against K1 teams.
Yeah.
They put six past the K-League champions.
Well, that's three internationals. Moon Sun Min's playing for Korea, Aguilar's playing for Costa Rica, and Magosa's playing for Montenegro.
Right.
Three international caliber strikers against any K2 club,
right.
and they're going to be in trouble. So yeah, I think
Incheon
would be the tough one. Looking at it, Sangju does have just one win in their past eight, and it was a 1-0 victory over Chano. I think looking at the schedule is going to be interesting because Sangju has Gangwon, who have nothing to win or lose. And then they'll have Seoul last, and Seoul at that point will probably be in a similar situation. Maybe. I don't know, because I'm not writing off Incheon against Seoul this year. Especially if Incheon could get themselves out of 11th by beating their Gyeonggi Derby rivals, that would be pretty...
Well, yeah.
So, just to put you guys on the spot, though, who's going to be in that 11th place? Michael.
Let's go for Sangju. Let's go for Sangju again. Let's go for a repeat of last year and Busan. Go ahead and take them forward.
I just think, I think on form and because of how potent Incheon's attack is, that they will manage to get themselves into 10th and it'll be Sangju.
You're both wrong. It's going to be Jeonnam in 11th place. They're going to win it. No. They're getting relegated.
It's so tough,
isn't
it? I just
feel like Sangju is going to pull off a win in one of these last two games. It doesn't mean anything to their opposition. And they might pull it off and just keep things the way that it is. So I feel like it could be Incheon, but I want it to be Sangju. So I'm going to say
partly what I'm thinking as well. It's what I'm saying what I would like to see rather than what I'd actually want to see. I mean, location-wise, Incheon would be fantastic. It's not too far. Sangju is a trek, but...
and ending the year in Incheon would be... that stadium ending the season there would be fantastic. We will talk a little bit more about that and everything else. After another brief break, we'll be right back to go through the mailbag.
Looking to spend some downtime with friends and fellow gamers in Seoul? Drop by Retro Game Bar. Located in Hongdae near Sangsu Station Exit 1, RGB is a retro game-inspired bar where you can play any and all types of games. Test their bartenders' drink mixing capabilities or watch a game cast of your choosing. For those with a competitive side, sign up for monthly tournaments including Tekken, Mario Kart and K-League United's FIFA 19 competitions. Follow RGB on Facebook for tournament info and details on other events throughout the month. Mention that you're a fan of K-League United to their hard-working bartenders when you stop by for a starter shot to kick off the evening. Game on!
All right, welcome back, and we are here for a new segment that may have just been named during the break. Paul, you've named this, so I'm going to give it to you. This is...
Mustache Michael's Mailbag.
That's right. Michael Redman is sporting a mustache for the month of November, and it is very mustachey.
And he's brought with him his mailbag, coincidentally.
Yeah. So we got a couple of good questions that came in on social for this. We got a couple of emails as well, and... Michael's going to run us through those.
Yes, so for the start of Mustache Michael's Mailbag, I figured he'd look with a jingle as well to go with that as well. The first question I've got was an email by Rowan asking, should there be more teams be automatically promoted?
Yes and no. Yeah. Yes, there should be more teams in the K2.
Well,
and then that would enable them to allow at least two to go automatically. In a 10-team league, perhaps even 9-team next year, then you can't really have more than one go up. If they could somehow manage to get themselves to a 12-team league, then two teams should go up automatically, yes.
I think, hopefully the pyramid is supposed to open up very soon. It's supposed to open up in 2020, I believe, was the original statement a few years ago. The first seven divisions are supposed to open up to promotion relegation by 2020. We'll see if that actually happens. Mm. But there are a lot of national team sides, which is the third division here in Korea, that I think could come up. Mokpo makes a strong run in the FA Cup every year. You're telling me they couldn't handle, sorry, Eland or Ansan Greeners, yeah, or really a lot of the K2 clubs on their day. Mm. You know, they do in the FA Cup, so I feel like they could get up for it at other times.
FC Pochon as well, yep, from the K3. Yep. And
oddly enough, Jeonju has a good squad outside, yeah, of the one that we all know that plays in Jeonju.
Yeah. Gyeongju Hydro Nuclear Power.
Yes.
They just won the National League, mm-hmm, for the second league, for the second year running. And they could easily play in the K2. Easily.
Yeah, so I think in the future it would be nice to see maybe two teams swap, 11th and 12th from K-League automatically go down, and then 10th is in the playoff, and then if they keep the split system, relegation rounds are really interesting, right, then, because right now 10th, you're sailing, you're doing fine, but if 10th comes with that playoff game,
yeah,
oof,
be out.
I think especially with watching Seoul Eland this season, mm-hmm, and looking at the way Ansan Greeners were the second half of the season, they gave up.
Yeah.
They gave up, and it was the case of, well, what we're fighting for, we're, mm-hmm, not getting promoted.
Mm-hmm. And we're not getting relegated.
And we're not getting relegated. Yeah. So what are we playing for? Is there a financial reward for going higher up in the league? It must not be that dramatic, because the football got a little bit blander, yeah, to say, as the season got to close to an end for them teams. So if there was a relegation battle, you'd start seeing more intriguing, interesting games with these teams, mm-hmm, that at the end of the season, going back to Seoul Eland, but, mm-hmm, we were sticking defenders up front. We had John Min-kwan up front, who he did start his life out as an attacker, but he's been centre back or left back all season, apart from three games prior where he was up front.
That's when you know that you are clutching at straws, when you're putting your left back up front.
Or you're a K-League team, because that's where Wanderson's been for Jeonnam all year.
Anyway,
moving on, Michael. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we have another Mike, a Mike, mm-hmm, O'Neill on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He asked, do you think Songnam and the team that will be promoted, mm-hmm, are they any threat to pull a Jeongnam next season?
Well, are they going to be like Jeongnam and finish an ACL position?
Yeah, in the first time of asking.
I wouldn't say quite as good as that, but I could see Songnam doing well enough. If it's Busan and Songnam, then yes. Not to that extent.
No.
But I think Songnam will get Hwang Hee-jo back next season. His loan deal. I think it's a loan deal. A two-year loan.
I think he's going to fund Songnam for a while. I think it'd be very wise to transfer him while he's hot.
I don't know. Yeah, well, either way.
Club that needs money. As much as they need his goals, they also need to stay funded.
Yeah, either way, he's going to help them.
Either way, he's going to help them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, because last year, the thing about Gyeongnam last year, they were so convincing. They were so convincing winning that league, and they just didn't stop. We expected it to not be able to make that next step, but I say this all the time, full credit to the front office down in Gyeongnam, because they've done a tremendous job of finding just enough talent to pad it to that next level. And I don't see Songnam being able to pull that off and make that much of a run to finish in third or second.
Yeah.
And Busan, they haven't been as convincing as Gyeongnam was last year.
I think they've got enough in them to be a Daegu.
Which, yeah, hey, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for the first couple of years back up, what Daegu's done last year and this year, good. It's been good for them, yeah.
Yeah, I think especially if you look at the likes of Jeju this season in the K-League 1, they've not had a fantastic year compared to 2017. Mm-hmm. So to say they will try and get into an ACL position or even a top six might be a little bit more harder to ask for next year, mm-hmm, as it was this year for
That's
them.
A good point.
There has been a lot of teams that maybe should have done a little bit better this year than they did Suwon. Do. Yes.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. So I think, to answer that question kind of plainly, no, I don't see anybody. I personally don't see anybody pulling a Gyeongnam, but I didn't see Gyeongnam pulling a Gyeongnam. No, so
not to that extent. They'll do. I think enough to do another Daegu, basically.
Yeah, I would love for. I think Sungnam's going to be competitive next year. I think you could keep the squad that they have now and they would be competitive in K1 next year. But I don't think they'll finish in ACL.
No.
You've got one left, I believe?
Yes, so I have one more email, which is actually a question that could really be opened up. So we've got Sangmin. He said the promotion, relegation, playoffs, at the moment it's two-leg.
Mm-hmm.
Should that be, like the other playoff games, would be a single leg played in a neutral ground?
I'd like to see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think at the end of this season, when it's the dead of winter, people are going to be finding it difficult to find the motivation to go to a midweek game. A midweek game in December. Playing it on a Saturday or a Sunday in the middle of the afternoon in a neutral ground that's in the middle of the two teams, whoever those two teams are, will be the best way to go.
You know, Seoul World Cup Stadium is kind of pegged as the Korean Wembley, if you will. But I like the idea of neutral venues, traveling a bit, traveling with the teams, and it has to be a football-specific stadium. So for this one, if it's Busan against Incheon, you're spanning the country, so that's a little bit difficult.
You're in Daejeon then, right in the middle.
You're in Daejeon, you're in Daegu. Daegu next year would have a brand new football-specific stadium that could host. It's 25,000, so it'd be filled up. It'd be really great. And other times, if it's Busan down there, then you could hop over to Changwon, which is a lovely, and again another little intimate stadium. I don't like this two-legged final. Don't like it. I think look at the World Cup. Does the World Cup have a two-legged final? Nobody wants that for the final.
It dilutes it.
Look at what's happened with the AFC Champions League. The two-legged final it takes all of the grandiose out of what the event should be. And I think with this, I think they're going to, especially the team coming down from K1 is going to feel a lot more pressure going into a single game in a neutral venue. I just think that adds a lot more weight to the moment. And then from a league standpoint, that allows media to know exactly when to be there. It allows you to create more of an event around this. People, neutral fans might show up as this one singular event, or just casual fans of each of the teams. You know, like Busan fans this year, I think they would travel to a neutral venue.
I think you can see why, on a fan perspective, why they do two legs, but I'm going to counteract my own talk here, because if they have the two legs, you're going to get home fans going to the home games who may never travel away with their team. But if it's just a one-legged game in a neutral venue, it's like a big day out for these fans. Have it on a Saturday tea time kickoff, 5 o'clock kickoff, 4 o'clock kickoff, where they're up early, they're going down to this neutral venue, and make a great day out of it. This is what football's about, really. And with myself, with Seoul Eland, I've been down to Busan, I've been to many away games, Asan, Ansan. I generally enjoy the away games more. So if you have this one single game in a neutral venue, you get think of it on like a fan's perspective. You get the team bus and you're all meeting together.
Yep.
It'll be a fantastic day out, rather than go, right, we go here Wednesday, then we're back here Saturday or Sunday, and we might have drew this game 1-0 or lost 2-0. Look at it this way. If they lost the first leg 2-0, how many fans are going to the second leg?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially after we've talked about with away goals, I'm not going to be that enticed. Especially if you live in Busan and you're talking about, if it's Busan Sangju, you want to make a day trip from Busan, where it's a little bit warmer, over to Sangju for the day, or all the way up to Incheon, where it's going to be freezing cold. It's a bigger ask, yeah. So
I think we'll all agree to that, aren't we?
That'd be great. So I think that's about it for us this time. If you have any questions, comments, or reactions to this or any of the other podcasts we've done, you can get us by email, info@kleagueunited.com. You can get us on Twitter @kleagueunited or any of the other social media sites. We're all over the place, and we'll be reporting on the games live as they happen. So with that, I guess we're out of here.
Indeed. Later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.